Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Pulver's Towing. And today we're going to hear from Sport Mod driver number 40, George Gillen. We're also going to hear from Jason Becker from Salute to Veterans, Doug Johnson from the Jackson Motorplex, and another tailgating recipe from our old friend Speed at Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Pulver Motor Service is far more than towing and recovery. Pulver has the versatility and tools to move anything with wheels. Why should you invest in a truck and trailer when for a fraction of the cost, Pulver can move your heavy equipment to the job site and back? With our years of experience and investment in equipment, Pulver Motor Service isn't limited by size, weight, or distance. See for yourself at pulvermotorservice.com. Contact us today and find out how we can help move your business forward.
If you have skills to pack for a 7-day business trip using only your toiletry bag, then this is the sale for you. Purchase a 5-gallon bucket at Napa Auto Parts for $2.99 and you'll save 20% on 3 or more items you fit inside. If defying the laws of conservation of matter are not your thing, simply grab a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Oil Filter and a Platinum Oil Filter for $22.98. And with every $25 purchase, you get a free We Believe in Heroes hat. Hurry. Offers valid while supplies last.
Simply adding Cookies barbecue sauce is sure to make meat taste better. But when you really want to hit a home run, try one of my approved recipes. Speed the Sauce Man here, and I've got a bunch of easy-to-make creations at CookiesBBQ.com. Barbecue meatloaf, Grandma Elmo's broiler burgers, heck, I'll even tell you the secret to Speed's racks of ribs. It's all at CookiesBBQ.com. Hey, smart cookies use Cookies barbecue sauce. Anything less is meat abuse.
Cookies is the one.
We've all heard the old saying, going the extra mile. When it comes to repairing your vehicle, that old saying rings true at Midwest Collision in Faribault. You may have to drive that extra mile, but Bob and his staff at Midwest Collision will reward you with quick and educational estimates. Plus, they'll go the extra mile to make sure you are completely satisfied with your repair. Call Midwest Collision today at 332-2434. They're miles ahead of the competition.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miner's Outdoor.
Miner's Outdoor, your Total Source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna Total Source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miner's Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miner's Outdoor, Major Tough.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there, whether it's a small or large project, with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna, licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
Hey, this is Dave from Steverson Oil, VP Racing Fuels, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by George Gillen, driver of the number 40 Modified. And George, before we get into racing accomplishments, let's talk about one of your personal accomplishments. 50 years of marriage. Now that is an accomplishment. Congratulations, George.
Yeah, thank you.
How and where did you two meet, and was she into cars before you met her, or did you have a big influence on her?
Well, I was going to the University of Maryland, and I was a senior at the time, and her sisters were going to the university, and they had a dance, and she was a senior in high school, and they smuggled her in, and I met her there.
That's a great story, George. Where did you work, and what did you do for a career?
Well, I graduated from the University of Maryland, and then I got a job working for RCA Service Company, and I was stationed at Fort Belvoir working on night vision equipment. Then Nixon had a cutback, and they cut back the contractors. So I went and worked for another outfit called Advanced Space Age Products, and I worked on computer peripherals for quite a while. And unfortunately, a lot of their business dealt with government contracts. And when that was headed down, then I went and worked for Rabenow Division of Control Data, and I designed computer interfaces. After that, I moved to Iowa with my brother and my dad, and we formed a construction company, and we worked there for a while, and then that wasn't real profitable, and I worked for contractors then for 9 years. And then in 1980, things were bad, and I managed to get a job at Georgia Pacific as an electrical supervisor. Eventually, I was a plant engineer there, and then I went and worked for Celotex for another 10 years, and then I retired.
That type of job requires a lot of thought, and you are constantly thinking about how to do something or even do it better. And that really ties in with racing, because racing, you're constantly thinking about how I can make the car better or make myself faster.
Yep. Yeah, it's nice to have a job that suits you, and that job suited me.
Lehigh, Iowa is only about 20 minutes from Webster City, with the river and the hills. That is a very beautiful area of Iowa.
Yeah, about a third of the people here in Lehigh are related to me one way or another. My grandparents lived here, and my mom was raised here.
You are also not far away from Marty and Nancy Pringle's place. The Iowa Hall of Fame and Museum and the race reunions are really a great time, and we see you there all the time.
Yeah, Marty's really active with racing, and it's nice to see the people that he has.
You always park next to Marty Pringle and the Griffith Racing Team at Webster City.
Yeah, we like those people. Dick Griffith did a lot of machine work for us, and yeah, they're nice.
I'm sure you and Dick can talk a little racing history, too.
Yep.
He is a wealth of knowledge when you get him going.
Yep. Yeah, he was a late model inspector for quite a while.
Who were your racing heroes, and have you had a chance to run against some of them over the years and turn a few laps with those heroes?
Well, when I was growing up, we lived in New York State, and we went to watch the races quite often, my dad and my brother and I. And one of the nicest places we went was Oswego and watched the Super Modifieds race. And we also went to Brewerton, and at that time, my brother and I helped one fellow that was racing a flathead Ford, about a 1936, and we were teenagers at that time, and I remember thinking that it was the most powerful engine on the face of the planet, and it was interesting. We traveled with him some, and one time we were at the racetrack, and this old man comes by, and he's all old and gray and got a beer belly, and they started talking, and our driver, he said, you know, this car wasn't as fast as I thought it would be, because he had apparently bought the car from that fella. Then the guy said, hey, you want me to drive it tonight? And I'm thinking, no way we want somebody like that in the car. And Kenny, he says, you go right ahead. And, you know, Kenny had always been about in the middle of the pack. And then the official said, this guy's getting your car. He's going to have to start last because you changed drivers. And he started the race, and I'm watching, and he worked his way up, and now he's about in the middle of the pack. And I thought, well, that's about it. And it wasn't about it. He went up, and he ended up winning the race. And I learned many things. One was, you can't judge a person by what they look like. And secondly, the car was better than we thought it was, and it was interesting. That fella turned out to be Ray Crash Gilbert, who was a multi-track champion previously at that track. And after that time, we never heard that the engine wasn't good enough or the car wasn't good enough. We knew it was.
That's an awesome story, George. How did you get your start in racing?
Well, in about 61, we started racing a go-kart on a paved road course, and we did that for several years, and I enjoyed that. And then, you know, I married and had kids and so forth, and with kids, you really didn't have the money to spend on things like that. But once the kids got older, then we could. And I built a car in 1986, and it was a IMCA stock car. It was the lowest class they had at that time, and it's really closer to what a hobby stock is today.
How did you do in that stock car division?
Pretty good. I ran stock car for 9 years. We went up to the Super Nationals when they were held at Mason City, and I remember they had a little conflict with officials, and then the decision was reached. The rules for the stock cars is there is no rules, and we ran that, and I finished seventh. I was the second legal IMCA car across the line, and after that time, they moved to Boone, and we ran Boone several times. The best we did at Boone in the final race, we got 10th once, we got 11th two different years, and I know 1 year we ended up 3 feet short and 1 foot narrow, but that's Boone.
Sports Park in Fort Dodge was closed down for a period of time. Now it's opened up again. How great is it to have a track back open literally minutes from your house?
Well, it is very close, and Webster City is very close. They're both about 20 miles, and that's nice to kind of be able to race in your backyard. And there's a lot of people that you know from living in the area, and it makes it kind of like a family reunion.
George, how hot was it racing at Fort Dodge last week?
Oh, it was 90, I suppose. But the problem is you got to have on this fire suit and the helmet and the gloves and so forth. So it gets pretty warm.
I can't imagine. Webster City is another track that's literally minutes from your home. That is a very cool place. What does it mean to you as a driver knowing the history when you're racing there at that track?
Well, it's really nice because we know most all the people and have raced with, and I remember talking to Dean Flaws and his brother Bob. They were the first injury at that track, and it was when they climbed a tree so they could see the races, and one of them fell out of the tree and broke his arm. That goes back quite a ways. But, yeah, we have run Webster City for, what, 34 years? And, yeah, it's nice.
How many people have you seen climb the wall and leave that place with their race car?
Well, I remember before the wall, it was just banked, and if you exited unexpectedly, then you drove around and came back on the back straight, and it was nothing hurt or nothing broke. And then when they started with this noise abatement, they put in that concrete wall, and there's been a number of people that went over that wall. I guess I'm not a fan of walls, but that's the way it is.
We also see you at Hancock County Speedway in Britt, Iowa, and Kossuth County Speedway in Algona, Iowa. As a fan, I love those tracks. As a driver, what are the differences between the two surfaces when you're racing?
Well, when you go up to Algona and to Britt, those are shorter tracks, and I think the shorter tracks tend to bring out the better drivers, and it takes less horsepower to win, and it's nice. We raced at Wright County for many years, and when Wright County closed down, then Dan Danielson took his whole crew and they built the racetrack at Britt, and it opened in 95, and we've raced there a lot. Danielson was always a friend of the racer.
From the grandstand at Kossuth County Speedway in Algona, the banking is really deceiving. When you're standing down in the infield, that track is really banked.
Yeah, it is. And it makes the corner speed some higher.
And somebody else also told me that turn 1 and 2 are much different from turn 3 and 4.
Absolutely. Yeah, they are.
So how do you set a car up?
Well, you just get used to compensating for the difference is all.
What drew you to modifieds? What is it about those cars in that division that said, hey, George, we got to build one of these?
Well, I build my own cars. Until the last 2 years, I built my own engines. And we ran stock cars for 9 years. And I always thought it would be nice to run a modified, because in a modified, you can change angles and things that you cannot alter in a stock car. So I ran an A-Mod for 6 years. And the thing about the A-Mod, we ran about 550 horsepower. And then toward the end, the rascals were running 600 and 650 horsepower and more. And we were not going to put that much money in the engine. So I went to what was then a B-Mod. And we've run a B-Mod now for a lot of years.
Where did you typically run the A-Mod, and what were your successes in that division?
Well, we ran Webster City, and we ran Denison for several years. And also we ran Eldora. We used to run a track there. And we did pretty good. But when you jump up a class, like to an A-Mod class, you're running with a bunch of high experienced rascals that are hard to compete with, and we considered it a win if we were in the top four.
We see you at Webster City running with the USRA B-Mods, and at Kossuth
yep.
County Speedway running with the IMCA Sport Mods.
Yep.
What has to be changed on the car to go from one sanctioning body to the other?
Well, we change tires twice a week. We change gears twice a week, and we reconfigure the back of the car so it corresponds with their rules.
At Kossuth County Speedway, you are always there. The first one inside the pit gate on the left. As a racer, you are a promoter's dream. I'm sure Ron Reefer appreciates you because he can always count on George being at his track on
yeah.
Thursday nights.
Yeah. We like running Algona.
You yourself must look forward to race night all week long because you are always the first one in the car ready for hot laps.
Yeah, I try to always be ready, be there on time, be in the car, have reasonable amount of spare parts, and do the best that we can.
A lot of people don't think about this aspect of racing, but racers during the summertime, their whole persona changes. They are so excited about the upcoming weekend and looking forward to this special or that race or going to this track. All of a sudden, everything freezes over. It's winter time. You kind of change into get the car ready for the next season mode.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that weekend is a big deal for the racers.
Well, in the winter time, if we're building a new car, then that winter flies by pretty fast. But if we're not building, then, man, it sure seems to drag. This last winter, then that virus started up. I read 36 books over the winter, did a bunch of puzzles. I think I drove my wife half nuts.
I did the same thing, George. I read 26 racing novels. How did you meet your sponsor, Z-Man Gutters from Ventura, Iowa?
Well, Z-Man, he had talked to us several times as he came into the track to watch, and he helped us out, and it was a good thing.
He is a great guy. He said he
yes.
is just a huge fan and enjoys watching you and Kevin Opheim at the races and wanted to get involved. Race fans need to do business with businesses that support racing because you
mm-hmm.
know eventually some of that money is going to trickle down to sponsoring guys like yourself.
Yeah, Kevin Opheim, he's a friend of mine, and a lot of people don't like Mr. Opheim. He's a very aggressive driver, and the one time he came out with some stickers that says, I hate Kevin, and he gave me one of those, and I stuck it on the back of my car, and most people knew that he actually printed them up, and it was not in a harsh way that it was put there. And I was at a gas station getting gas, and one of the military guys came and they got gas and looked at the back of my car and they said, "Boy, you must really dislike this man." And I laughed and I said, "Well, actually, he's a friend of mine." And they gave me a funny look.
That is a great story, George. And I know Kevin was winning a lot. When he was on a hot streak, it would be like, well, who's going to finish second tonight? Because we know Kevin's going to win. And you know when people start winning like that, all of a sudden the boo birds start coming because they want to see somebody else, right?
Well, Kevin, a very, very talented driver. And I've talked to Kevin many times. You know, his own worst enemy is Kevin. You know, I've seen him at the Super Nationals when he was in a qualifying race and he was in a qualifying position, and instead of just taking what he's got, he'll push it too hard and then he'll end up in a struggle to get qualified. And I always figured he needed a manager.
You also have a very loyal and enthusiastic pit crew.
Yeah, my brothers support me and help with the car, and I was running four tracks, and then Charles has kind of slowed down. He's got some health issues, so we dropped it to three, and then he slowed down some more. So my brother Brian usually helps me up in Algona.
Visiting with you at the Kossuth County Speedway Racing Banquet back in February, you said, "I have no plans of retiring anytime soon."
No, I don't plan to retire. I enjoy doing what I'm doing. And I enjoy visiting with the different people. You know, another thing about it is, in older times, the drivers were closer to each other. Nowadays, there's some of them that are kind of distant. They don't share and visit too much.
When you're not racing, you have some very interesting hobbies. You're always doing something. You even built your own remote-controlled car.
Yeah, I built remote control cars before they were in fashion, and I built radio control airplanes since 1958. Yeah, I did a lot of that.
That radio controlled airplane, that used to be a much bigger hobby, and you don't see that as much anymore.
You know, back in the 50s and 60s, we designed and I built my own planes. Today, very few people do that. They want them all ready to fly, and they just want the flying part. But, if you do the whole project, you learn a lot more.
That's one thing I think that I've noticed the most is hobbies. Kids just don't do hobbies anymore. You'd go to the county fairs, and there would be all kinds of model cars and model planes. You don't see people doing modeling as much. Those hands-on skills, and I think those type of hobbies teach you so much.
Yes, they do. You see the younger ones today, and they're with the phones and computers. They think they're doing something, but they're not doing much. When we were young kids, if the weather was good, we were outside playing football or baseball and doing things.
Throughout your racing career, what are some of your most memorable moments, either people you met over your career, great nights at the track, or just great nights building a new car or in the shop?
Well, there's just a real variety of things I enjoyed. One of the eye-opening experiences we had was when we lived in New York State. We went and watched the cars race on a road course at Watkins Glen. And we were there the first time that NASCAR went to Watkins Glen. And we got to see those guys race, as well as people like Jim Hall. And we also got to see the Cobras race at that time. And it was interesting. And the thing that really impressed me the most was like the 2-liter made-to-race sports cars. They went around that track at unbelievable speeds for such a, low cubic inch engine.
That had to be impressive in the era that you were there, because those Can-Am cars, those Cobra cars, they were impressive on those road courses.
Yeah, it was neat to see them go when Jim Hall did a lot of innovative things, and I think they continued to chase him with the rules and make whatever he did and make them fast illegal. But I've always been impressed with him.
George, I've been looking forward to this interview all season. I knew you'd have some incredible stories, and I can't wait to see you our next trip down to North Iowa and see you racing that number 40 modified, and thank you so much for taking your time to be with us here on The Dirt Show.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
If you're in need of a worry-free power lift door, then you'll want to stop and talk with Rod French. Make a statement with a PowerLift architectural door on your home or cabin. PowerLift doors can be retrofitted to fit an existing door opening or designed into your next commercial, agricultural, livestock, or aircraft hangar build. Stylish, functional, and built to last. PowerLift doors by French's Manufacturing are made locally in Dodge Center, Minnesota by their experienced craftsmen. Contact Callie or Rod. PowerLift doors by French's Manufacturing. 374-9306.
One of our brand new items. We're very excited to unleash our new 3D printed plastic trickery to our line. First part in that line is our new Raceiver mounts. They're available for the Fusion or Element, and you can tie strap them to a roll bar, or we have a flat mount that you can pop rivet to your interior tin or the side of your helmet, or you can Velcro it. One of the nice features of having it on your helmet instead of being on your seatbelts or to a tube is you can get out in a hurry and not have to worry about where your receiver is or being tied down to your belts or tied down to a tube. It's real nice to have it on the side of your helmet so you can get out of the car very fast. And as always, check us out online at weirdsmachine.com. Thank you.
Wolf & Sons Yard Service has heavy equipment. This is Scott Wolf. Whether you need a basement dug, a building removed, footings for a remodel, an RV, camper, or boat pad, rock, sand, or dirt hauled, or even a driveway or parking lot road graded, call 455-3524.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packing products when it comes to shipping your business products? Foamcraft Packaging in Owatonna provides a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call 455-2893. That's 455-2893.
Arrow Race Wheels was established on the conviction that its dedicated staff could provide higher quality wheels designed specifically to endure the tough requirements and conditions of the racing industry. Most importantly, the wheels need to be manufactured and sold, maintaining an affordable price structure. Arrow Racing Wheels has become the largest premier steel wheel supplier, and their product line speaks for itself. Upgrade your racing game today at arrowracewheels.com.
Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Jason Becker from Salute to Veterans. And Jason, we've talked for the past few seasons, and this event continues to grow. It will be Thursday night, July 23rd at Kossuth County Speedway in Algona, Iowa. And for the drivers out there, you've got $20,000 in combined purses for the races that night. Now that's an incentive to get there.
Yeah, you know, Clayton, when we look at this event, we want to make sure that it's exciting for the veterans and the fans that attend, but also we want to give the drivers that are coming the ability to cover their costs and to win some money. And not only have we put big purses up, 2,000 WID modifies, 2,000 stock cars, 1,000 sport mod, and 1,000 hobby stock, but we've actually spread purse with support from the track and some others throughout the classes. So even the average purses, for example, for a modified, whoever finishes in the top 10, the average is $600. For a stock car, if you finish in the top 10, it averages $800 because of how it spreads out. So it definitely was important for us to do that. We want to attract drivers. We want to have as many drivers there to put on the greatest show that we can.
And you also have some great cars every single year with some really cool wraps that stand out from everything else.
Yeah, Clayton, I mean, we started this whole thing, this is a third full year right now, and we're in the middle of it, and you know, bottom line is we started with Tad Reitzel when he was racing, and he was just like, design the car however you want and let us know what you think. And then we've had Derek Green, Elijah Zevenbergen, and Nick Meyer. And this year, we just said, we're going to try to get some of the best guys out there, but also guys that want to be a part of something. And it was amazing. This year, we had so many drivers reach out to us proactively and say, hey, I'd love to be considered. And it was a fun process, but also challenging. You want guys that are engaged and want to be a part of it, that care about the event. You want to be competitive, of course. You know, it's helpful if they have a social media following so we can get the word out, right? So we landed on don't want to say a dream team, but it's an amazing group. And we got Brandon Nielsen, the T8 from Spencer and Hobby Stock. He and his brother seem to win about everything they enter. Colby Fett, who was a bumper away from winning a lot of big races last year and has already run a couple this year, and he's just amped up about the event. I mean, those are the types of guys that are really making a big impact for us. And last year we had Matt Loaf. I mean, how do you get better than that? The guy's won everything 10 times and multiple national championships. So, and he's going to help us again this year. He's going to be doing some things for us this year as well. And then last year, Jake Masters, stock cars. I don't know if anybody's won more races this year than he has in a shortened schedule. And then Nick Meyer, who won the Salute to Veterans race last year and had absolutely his best year as a driver last year, 10 wins or something like that. He's back and really kind of come the statesman for us, kind of his second year, and he knows how things work, so he's really helping us try to get drivers to the track but also get supporters for the event. And we couldn't be happier with the group, and it's fun to watch them because this started as an event where we wrap a couple cars and that becomes a big part of the event, but people want to see that car succeed, and these guys have all been so open, and they plan to run the wraps the rest of the year, so they're very, very supportive, and their sponsors are all supportive of them kind of focusing on the veterans, and then of course having some sponsor recognition on the cars as well.
Thursday, July 23rd kicks off with a free pork dinner for the vets, free race admission for veterans, active military, and widows of veterans, and then the whole night is wrapped around honoring these people.
Yeah, Clint, I mean, I think when we look at this event, we think it is about the veterans. And so everything that we do, whether it's free admission, a great show that the Kossuth County Raceway, Ron Reefer and Scott Schulze put on, even all the way to Chad Meyer, who's calling it. I mean, he cares about this event, and they work extra hard. His dad works extra hard on the track to get it ready. I mean, everyone that's involved is pointing towards making this a great thing for the veterans. And one of the things that we've done the last couple of years, which is one of my favorite parts of the night, is where we line up top 10 runners from the redraw in each class, and we assign them a veteran. And they pick it out, and that's their veteran for basically for the feature event. And if their veteran finishes the top three, they get some really great prizes. The top finisher, they give their veteran limited edition Henry rifle. So it's almost like you see on NASCAR, you see the clock, and you see lots of different tracks provide unique trophies. Well, in this case, our veteran takes that home, and then the person that won the event will take a big flag that's burned in, engraved, and the trophy becomes the flag for the driver that wins the feature.
Jason, with the current situation going on, you are taking precautions to make sure everybody stays safe on July 23rd.
Yeah, this one is probably the hardest part of this whole thing. If you think about our veterans population, the average age is in the 60s or 70s. So we've got some veterans that are definitely susceptible to the COVID virus that's happening. And so we've made it very clear that those that are susceptible, 65 and over, have underlying conditions, that we think that they should participate remotely. And the good people from Speed Shift said that they'll give us logins for those veterans that want to watch the race that physically can't be there, which is amazing. And then we've also said, for those folks that are in that situation, whether they're in that class or they're just veterans that don't feel comfortable or can't be there for the race, that we're going to have a drive-through that day where they're going to be able to come through. We hope to be able to line the cars up to where they can see the cars from 5 until 6 or so, and then we'll give them a gift card they would have got for coming to the event. We'll give them some hand sanitizer. We'll give them some masks that have been donated, and then we'll get them their food and drink. And so they'll be able to get almost everything they would have got otherwise. But for those that are going to come into the race, we've got a dedicated VIP entrance for them. And basically, we can get them into this venue, get them into a section that's going to be reserved for them, distance appropriately. We're going to give them masks, et cetera. And we had ABCM and Mandy Studer, a couple of different people donated masks for us to give to all the veterans that might be concerned about it. There's a great little distillery that many people probably haven't heard of yet, but they're going to SMB Farms Distillery down in Bancroft. They make some amazing spirits. And during the COVID outbreak, they switched over their stuff and they made hand sanitizer. So they're going to provide hand sanitizer for the event and for the people, in addition to some really great drinks. On Facebook, if you look up Hunting with Heroes and you look Salute to Veterans Race, you'll see the safety protocol we put out there. The racing is important. There's no doubt about it. The excitement around the race, the purses, all this stuff is important. But there is literally nothing more important than making sure that everyone that participates is safe and that our veterans specifically are not affected by coming to an event like this. So,
Thursday night, July 23rd, Kossuth County Speedway in Algona, Iowa. Salute to Veterans Race. It's going to be an incredible night. And thank you for all you do, because I know how much work behind the scenes goes on to put on an event like this. And thank you so much for being with us here on The Dirt Show.
Yeah, thanks, Clay. We appreciate you having us on, and thanks for sharing the message. And just another call out to the drivers out there. You know, we want to have you there. We want to have you be involved in something. And you as a driver and your team have the real opportunity to be able to get out there and support these guys and gals, these veterans, throughout your night. So thanks for considering coming up.
BP Racing Fuels is proud to be recognized as a world leader in race fuel technology. BP's fuels have a well-deserved reputation for power and consistency, winning championships in every form of motorsports for more than 40 years. Whether sportsman or pro, methanol or gasoline, BP has a fuel to ensure optimum performance for your application. See the full line of BP's high-performance products online at vpracingfuels.com. At VP Racing Fuels, our passion is your performance.
Attention hay farmers, Rhino Egg now has a fast and easy way to handle the gathering, lifting, loading, and offloading of square hay bales using only one operator. The ACG-10 Acumia Grapple is the one tool you'll need to replace at least three or four teenagers throwing bales. Save time and money with Rhino Egg Hay Tools. Check out the new hay tools at rhinoegg.com.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers products. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. Superior lubricants like JB80 and JB Heavy Duty Chain Lubricants are made for today's farm equipment. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to auto enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers Car Care Products distributor, at 952-934-7354 or visit justicebrothers.com. Go with the winner, Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
Fast Shafts owner Pat Fagan is a racer himself and has been testing and building drive shafts for himself and teams all over the nation since 1992. Fast Shaft drive shafts are the number one carbon fiber, steel, chrome moly, and aluminum drive shaft builder for over 90% of the major modified chassis builders. Drive shafts, drive shaft repair, 9-inch Ford center sections, slip yokes, rear end yokes, ring and pinions, bearings, spools, gears, shim kits, and more. Call Fast Shafts today. Made by racers for racers. 800-622-6617.
Welcome back to a special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Doug Johnson from the Jackson Motorplex. And Doug, how good did it feel to get opening night under your belt at the Jackson Motorplex this season? I know when we were there for the opening night of the sprint car racing, everybody was so happy. It was just awesome.
To say the least, a trying year for all of us, Clay. We had a couple races early in the season with no fans, and it was really no fun at all. I mean, the fans are what build our sport, and we and the race teams all want, and we need the fans there to support it. And, you know, we did a couple races early in the year. It was more or less just to get our name out there and more for marketing purposes, to keep our track name out there. And we had some fantastic races, including World of Outlaw Late Models with no fans. But here a couple weeks ago, we finally were able to have fans in the stands. And it's still very limited number of fans. But, you know, at least we're, I think, going in the right direction. And hopefully here before long, state of Minnesota will open things up more and we can have full capacity. But it just feels great. It's just been a real challenging year. We work on our schedule about a year in advance. And, you know, this year we've kind of thrown that 2020 schedule out the window and really had to start over. And right now we're just taking it 2 weeks at a time. We really don't know what's going to be in store for us down the road. And so we're not getting too excited about our later season events right now until we can know what direction the state and everybody's going here. But like I said, we're taking it 2 weeks at a time and kind of making our schedule up as we go right now.
And I was able to talk to some of the lucky fans that did get tickets for the Jackson Nationals. Despite all of the obstacles, what a huge success.
Yeah, it turned out all right. We were not sure if and when we were going to host the Jackson Nationals, and we worked really close with the World of Outlaws and partnered with them on that event, and that really helped out a lot. It was disappointing in a sense, too, because we were really hoping to pay that $100,000 payout this year. But with the limited number of fans and working with the World of Outlaws, we backed that down to $30,000 and still had a fantastic turnout of cars and a good support from the fans that were able to make it. You know, it was, I tell you, Saturday night was one heck of a race. I mean, fans that didn't get to see it, they missed the good ones. It's good to finally have that over. We're already planning for 2021. You know, hopefully we can continue to build that Jackson Nationals up and keep it as one of the premier sprint car events in the entire country.
Again, Minnesota fans were looking forward to seeing the Lucas Oil late model series, and this time it wasn't the weather, but COVID-19 causing the cancellation.
Yeah, that was extremely disappointing. You know, we've been working with Cole and the people over at Deer Creek as well because they had a race scheduled for this Thursday night, the night before ours, and we've been talking real close with them guys and with the Lucas Oil people. And with everything that's going on, we just didn't feel it was the right situation for either of our tracks to host the event this year. So we talked to our sponsors, and they're behind both of us as far as rescheduling this for 2021. So that is the approach that we took, and we have canceled this year's Lucas Oil event. But there again, we're looking to build on that and make that a bigger and better event in 2021.
You have a great lineup of regular night races between now and September, even including a monster truck show.
We worked really hard on putting our schedule together a year ago and got some great events. And, you know, the next scheduled event on our schedule right now is the July 17th Midwest Power Series show, which features the 360 sprint cars along with the Race Saver sprint cars. And the Monster Trucks is scheduled for Saturday, August 1st, I believe. But like I said, we're just kind of taking it 2 weeks at a time and see what happens and see what happens with the state of Minnesota. And hopefully they will open some things up a little bit more for outdoor activities, and you know, we can have, you know, close to full crowds for some of those events.
It's hard to believe we are 53 days away from the Casey's 360 Nationals September 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Yeah, that's really becoming one of our premier events on our schedule as well. You know, last year we had, I believe, 47 360 sprint cars showed up for that event, and it's an event that we're continuing to build. And with the help of Knoxville Raceway, you know, they're not racing that weekend, and it gives some of their guys a chance to come up here and race. And a lot of people are actually putting that on their schedule, you know, year after year now, as it's becoming one of the premier 360 events in the Upper Midwest. So we're excited to have Casey's on board with us this year, and along with DeKalb Asgro, and should be a really exciting event this year over Labor Day weekend.
Doug, you've been in this business a long time. If the state rules start to change, are there any plans on extending the season later into the fall due to the late start this spring?
Right now, no. We've looked at our schedule, and the one thing that we do is we work very close with Knoxville Raceway, and they've got some two-day events coming up in late August and September, and we're not going to schedule against Knoxville Raceway. I can tell you that. So they've got some things on their calendar already. They're racing well into September, and so right now we have no plans of extending our season regardless, just because of the fact that we're not going to race on top of Knoxville or any other 360 or 410 events here in the Upper Midwest. So that's probably our major factor moving forward, is to work with these other tracks and create some unity between us. So, you know, the fans don't have to make a choice when it comes down to it, and they can select the races that are going to be big draws. And so that's kind of what our process is in scheduling events. But like I said, we'll just kind of take it 2 weeks at a time and see, and then we'll go from there.
Doug, as always, thanks for being with us here on the Dirt Show, and can't wait to see you out at the Jackson Motorplex.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open for business 7 days a week, year-round, and the timing to get our doors opened up again couldn't be better. You'll want to be sure to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum to check out all of the new 2020 Sprint Car shirts, jewelry, books, and merchandise that has already arrived for the season. And you'll definitely want to see the new Salute to Champion Greg Hodnett exhibit inside our museum, featuring 8 of the sprint cars that Greg drove during his career, including Greg's B-Mod race car that he won his first feature race in. And you'll see all of the behind-the-scenes equipment that Greg Hodnett used his engineering degree on to fine-tune his race cars long before his competitors caught on to Greg's technology. This and Sprint Car Racing's Greatest Achievers, all at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability.
Extreme powder coatings offer a scientific process that uses heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme powder coatings can deliver multimedia blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and super durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Visit ExtremePowderCoating.net for more information. Extreme
Powder Coating. Buyer's Engine Service of Rochester opened its doors in 1975. Hi, this is Corey. Since 1975, we've been offering complete engine machining services and assembly. From flatheads to big blocks, Y-blocks to drag race engines, and street rods to pulley tractors. Plus, Buyer's Engine Service offers complete dyno service. So if your race car or street car needs a little under the hood, trust the place who's been there since 1975. Contact Buyer's Engine Service at 507-282-5586.
Welcome back to a special segment here on A Dirt Show, and it is always a great day to be joined by Speed the Sauce Man from Cookies Barbecue Sauces and Seasonings. And Speed, over the 4th of July weekend, you could see all the smoke from everybody's grill lofting in the air. People were having fun cooking up some great stuff for the family. And you have an incredible recipe for meatloaf and green beans in the smoker that just looks awesome.
And throw potatoes in there with that too, Clayne. It's a meal on a pan, and you can do this either in your oven or on your grill. It's kind of your choice, but what you do is take one of these good-sized, heavy-duty aluminum sheet pans. I'll go through the ingredients first. Anybody who wants a recipe, shoot me an email, speed@cookiesbbq.com, and tell me you want the sheet pan recipe. What you need is a can of cooking spray, 1.5 pounds of russet potatoes. You got to peel and cut them up into probably half-inch cubes. 1/4 cup water. Then need 1/3 cup of old-fashioned oatmeal, 1/3 cup grated yellow onion, 1/3 cup Cookies barbecue sauce in your choice on flavor, and 1.5 teaspoons of Cookies flavor enhancer, and 1 pound of ground beef, 1 large egg, 2 ounces of Colby Jack or Pepper Jack cheese diced, and about roughly just a shy pound of green beans, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 2/3 of a cup of milk, and 1 tablespoon of butter. The first step, you either preheat your oven or grill, and you want your oven to get up around 4 1/4, so likewise on the grill. Coat a large heavy-duty piece of foil with the cooking spray, and then place the potatoes on the foil and drizzle with water, and then wrap the foil around the potatoes. Make sure you seal it up real tight because you want the steam to do the cooking, and stick that on one corner of your sheet pan, and then spray the cooking spray on the rest of the sheet pan to make it nonstick. But then take the oatmeal, the onion, 2.5 tablespoons of the barbecue sauce, and 1/2 teaspoon of the flavor enhancer, the ground beef and the egg, mix that all together. Then add the cheese and just mix that in. And then divide that mixture into 4 portions and shape them into mini-sized loaves. Put a little Cookies barbecue sauce on the top of each one of them. Then you throw that on the sheet pan. Cook for about 15-20 minutes in that 4 1/4 range. Then toss the green beans with the oil and pull the pan out of the oven or off your grill. Put the green beans, scatter them around on there, then back in the oven or on your grill for another 15-20 minutes. Need to get those meat loaves up to about 160-165 degrees. Take the pan off, and you want to be real careful when you open that foil packet that's got the potatoes in it, because steam will come out. To that, you add a little bit of milk and butter and a little bit of Cookies flavor enhancer, and just kind of mash those potatoes a little bit. Sprinkle a little bit of the flavor enhancer on the green beans, and you've got your whole meal right there in front of you, Clayne.
Speed, as always, thank you for being with us here on The Dirt Show.
You bet, and Clayne, just make sure you stay in the sauce, cookie sauce, that is.
Have you ever been stuck? I mean, really stuck. This is Darcy from Pulver Towing. Over the years, we've been called to fields and job sites where they've spent days trying to free a piece of equipment from the muck. If you don't have time to wait, call Pulver Towing. Our towing experts will have you out in hours instead of days. With locations in Rochester, Worthington, Fulda, and Marshall, if you're stuck, call Pulver Towing today.
The difference between a Hinchman fire suit and others? The difference is safety. All Hinchman fire suits are made with materials that are permanently fire resistant. That's why Nomex remains the standard. The difference is experience and innovation. Hinchman started the racing suit industry over 80 years ago. The difference is quality, value, and customer service. Your suit is an investment in your safety, and Hinchman is committed to giving you the safest and best racing suit along with friendly personal service. Hinchman, why settle for anything less?
Founded by Jesse Olsen in 2004, Medieval Chassis was formed to fulfill a need for better engineered race cars. Medieval Chassis' new state-of-the-art facility has made it a leader in the stock car racing industry and two-time IMCA national champions. The use of a fiber tube laser, CNC tube bender, and flat laser allows Medieval Chassis to engineer and develop a chassis that exceeds all others in performance and adjustability. Find out more today at MedievalChassis.com.
Welcome to the Dirt Track segment, brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
There was a ton of great racing over the 4th of July weekend, starting on Thursday night, July 2nd. Mississippi Thunder Speedway in the USRA B-Mod 20-lap feature. Flying Ryan Olson over Tommy Richards. In the USRA Modified A-Main, Jacob Tim over Jacob Bleese. In the Dirt Late Model, 40-lap A-Main, the veteran John Canta over Tim Eisenberg. Mississippi Thunder Speedway resumed Night 2 on Friday night, July 3rd. In the USRA B-Mod A-Main, Flying Ryan Olson making it two nights in a row over Tyler Scroggy. In the USRA Hobby Stocks, Travis Krause over Cody Rollinger. In the USRA Modified A-Main, Lucas Schott over Jacob Bleese. And in the 40-lap Dirt Late Model A-Main, Dustin Sorensen over Ryan Unziger. Friday night, July 3rd, they were racing at historic Knoxville Raceway. Brian Brown having a historic night, winning both the 360 and 410 wing sprint car A-Mains. In the 410 wing sprint car A-Main, Brian Brown over Terry McCarl. In the 360 wing sprint car A-Main, Brian Brown over Jamie Ball. And in the Pro Series wing sprint cars, Chase Young over Devin Wignall. Chateau Speedway in Lansing, Minnesota got their season opened Friday night, July 3rd, in the Hornet A-Main, Daniel Knish over Bailey Wolf. In the Wissota Midwest Modified A-Main, Kylie Kath over Travis Underdahl. In the Pier Stocks, Brady Kronberg over Andrew Eichens. In the Wissota Street Stocks, Zach Elward over Corey Adams. In the USRA B-Mods, Caden Kath over Noah Grinstead. In the USRA Modifieds, Jason Cummins over JT Wasman. And in the Wissota Superstocks, Dan Nasulke over Ryan Kostreba. Cedar Lake Speedway hosted a two-night racing event Friday night, July 3rd, and Saturday night, July 4th. The World Outlaw Wing Sprint Cars and the Late Models in a 410 Wing Sprint Car 35-lap A-Main. It was Brad Sweet over Kerry Madsen. And in a Super Late Model 50-lap A-Main, Ashton Winger over Brandon Shepard. Night 2 at Cedar Lake Speedway, Saturday night, July 4th. Brad Sweet had an outstanding weekend, making it back-to-back nights, winning the 35-lap 20,000 to win A-Main over David Gravel. And in a 40-lap World Outlaw Late Model feature, Brandon Shepard over Cade Dillard. Saturday night, July 4th, was night 2 of racing at the Knoxville Raceway. In the 20-lap 410 wing sprint car A-Main, Justin Henderson over Brian Brown. In the 20-lap 360 wing sprint car A-Main, Scott Boguski over Jamie Ball. And in the Pro Series wing sprint car A-Main, Russ Hall over Evan Epperson. Deer Creek Speedway was also running on Saturday night, the 4th of July. In the USRA B-Mod A-Main, Brandon Hare over Jim Chisholm. In the USRA Modifieds, Brandon Davis over Jacob Bleese. In the Midwest Modifieds, Kylie Kath over Mitch Weiss. In the Street Stocks, Cody Coomer over Danny Richards. And in the Wissota Super Stocks, Brandon Duhlman over Dylan Kromschroeder. And Arlington Raceway was also racing on Saturday night, the 4th of July. In the IMCA Hobby Stock A-Main, Corey Probst over Luke Treblehorn. In the Sport Compacts, Justin Dose over Eric Stoker. In the IMCA Sport Mods, Jeff Carter over Travis Sherman. In the Carts, your feature winners were Carter Brown, Carter Dragger, and Matt Johnson. In the Modified A-Main, Clint Hattelstead over Toby Patchen. In the Outlaw Hobby Division, Brian Oppitz over Carl Hewitt Jr. In the IMCA Sprint Cars, Trevor Serbus over Michael Stein. And in your Stock Car feature, Dan McIntoon over Matt Speckman.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.